So I'm really pleased to stand here to announce that our committee and others have decided to name the opening plenary of the STD Prevention Conferences in honor of Ward Cates. I find it a huge privilege to be able to remember and appreciate Ward today. He was a great mentor for me. I started in the field with zero experience, and I have a lot of stories that I can tell about him, but I want to share what a lot of people think of Ward because I think he's been a huge impact to the field of STD prevention. Ward was born as Willard Cates, Jr., and was a tireless public health advocate and pioneering epidemiologist in STDs, HIV/AIDS, and women's reproductive health. He was born on November 16th in 1942 in Cleveland, Ohio. He died from leiomyosarcoma on March 17th of this year in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He was 73 years old. And I'm not going to go into his extensive educational background, but the mantra of Ward was he was a win-win. He was widely known for his international HIV and reproductive health work. He led multidisciplinary teams conducting complex clinical trials and programs that investigated the effectiveness of contraceptive technologies and HIV treatment and prevention methods. In each, he sought wins for everyone involved, from the scientists developing new methods for HIV prevention to people, particularly women, who he believed should be empowered to control their own destiny and risks. Yet, his impact on STD prevention in the United States, often not mentioned, has been immense, and his journey was not by choice. This is a story for another day, and the director of CDC at the time, Bill Foege, told Ward that his science was impeccable and asked him if he would like to... I'm so happy that my tech person is here. Anyway, Bill Foege asked Ward if he would like to be the director of the Division of STD Prevention. Okay, we're back to where we started. So in 1982, Ward became the director of the division as the HIV epidemic began and was responsible not only for STD prevention but also the new field of HIV prevention. And he worked hard to integrate HIV prevention into the CDC's long-standing STD control programs and led early clinical trials that showed antiretrovirals could be used for HIV prevention as well as for treatment. But as the AIDS epidemic became a global crisis and many in the STD field moved on to focus solely on HIV, Ward never abandoned the STD ship. He led by example of a striking mix of scientific rigor and clarity about doing the right thing for those most in need, including those with STDs. So what I'd like to do is share with you about a lot of his attributes that people have described to me. And first of all, Ward was very organized. He cleared every manuscript or Epi-2 within 48 hours and focused his comments in his blue Sharpie pen, which we're going to see, on important points. He advised us to never touch a paper twice if you can help it, and never to stay in a job longer than 7 years. He was an inveterate optimist. Ward definitely found most glasses half full, but was also able to identify problems and the ways that things might be solved or averted. Now, Ward was funny. He had a fabulously wicked sense of humor and was the best source of gossip ever, and CDC has a lot of gossipers. At one staff meeting, he pointed out every day that Russ Alexander and Virginia Pertet had exactly the same horoscope. I actually don't know Virginia, but according to the person that described the situation, it was really funny if you know how different they really were. He loved practical jokes and pranks. He was known for writing fake, humorous letters of recommendations for people who asked. His secretary shared in his humor and once wrote a fake abstract for submission to the first international conference on orgasm in New Delhi in 1991. She prepared a clearance folder for his signature, and it was a total joke. Once a company sent him a pair of lovely, bright red boxer shorts called safety shorts, with a small pocket built into the waistband to hold a condom. He was so excited. He put them on top of his pants and went out into the parking lot to go to get in his car to go to a high-level CDC meeting. Some division STD folks were almost crying, worrying he might be fired or reprimanded for his outfit, as it was Wednesday, uniform day, and he had to put these shorts on top of his public health service uniform trousers. He was also an inspirational and motivational mentor. He always took the time to, when you go to large meetings like this, he would introduce junior staff to all the big leaders in the field. He invited ES officers to review journal papers with him to discuss and learn at his side. He was happy to provide guidance to his staff about work issues, usually including a confidential story about some fatally flawed endeavor he had been part of that ultimately had a silver lining. One of the funniest stories he shared was a bet he had with Alan. I'm sorry, I got so many CDC jokes here, but he had a bet with Alan Hinman on whether voicemail or email was a faster way to communicate. They set up some scheme to measure and compare. Now, the reporters of this story couldn't quite remember which side Ward took, but email ultimately won, and everybody was a little bit sad about that. He also was a passionate and involved colleague. Ward was energetic, encouraging, involved in even the smallest meetings discussing the minutia epi methods. His smile, his warm voice, his great comments, and wry humor always lit up a room or a meeting. He was a fantastic role model in engaging colleagues and effectively collaborating. He connected with so many people across the STD, HIV, and reproductive health world. He had a remarkable intellect and clarity of thought, but at the same time, he was pragmatic and realistic. He was a leader in the field, yet so fundamentally genuine and approachable. He was also an incredibly strong epidemiologist. He had a lasting impact on the division in the field of STD prevention, and it's reported he was likely the first director to insist that epidemiology was different from contact tracing. He also was an excellent editor, always with the blue pen. Ward would read everything he wrote and often return brief, positive comments like T, great, W. So, just want to share a little things that used to be happening at CDC. We don't seem to have memos like this today. But this was a memorandum to all employees from the assistant regional manager of the Federal Supply Service regarding a restroom trip policy that was established, that was establishing a restroom trip bank where employees were to be given a restroom trip card for 20 trips. It goes to say in this memo, which you can't read, that as of April 1st in 1989, the entrance to all restrooms would be equipped with personal identification stations and voice recognition devices. In addition, all restroom stalls would be equipped with the time access paper roll retractors, and if the stall was occupied for more than 3 minutes, an alarm would go off, and then 30 seconds later, the paper roll would retract, the toilet would flush, and the stall door would automatically open. So this is what this memo says. And he actually sent the memo to Kay Stone. That's Kay. You can see it in the blue writing there. And it said, Kay, could you see if we could get this into Building 1680? Thanks, Ward. So the EIS conference also used to have a haiku contest, and so people would write about Ward. So I want to share some of the haiku that was sent to me from the days that EIS was allowed to have fun and the days, the glory days of the STD division in working in government. Here they go. Lunch at Freeway Park, tuna salad with sex talk. Other tables gasped. He was confident. Rules were flexible. Fuzzy, he was not afraid. The third one, let me edit that. Blue felt tip cursive throughout. The pages loved him. And these are my favorite. Choose the director with a sense of humor and a Cary Grant's dimple. And this is, a room starts to glow. Is it the sun rising? No. Ward Cates has entered. So this is him at an EIS conference back in the day. I would just like to say that he was a renowned leader and mentor, has inspired over two generations of leading scientists, public health officials, and clinical practitioners, and provided much guidance for those in the field of family planning, HIV prevention, and epidemiology. And yet I also knew that while he was very accomplished in his professional life, Ward found his greatest joy from his family. Known as Bompa by his grandkids, he loved hearing about and following the interests of his children and grandchildren, whether on the sidelines watching his family excel on the fields or on the comfort of his couch following Duke basketball, the LA Dodgers, or the Red Zone. Ward was always the loudest fan cheering for the things that he loved. So I actually find it really ironic that the topic for the first Ward Cates Memorial Lecture could not be more fitting. Preportunity. Ward always had great titles for his talks. And so now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Case Breitmeyer to introduce our speaker.